I am here because I believe the Lord just wanted me to be here this week. Because I talked with Pastor Tony. I told him, Pastor, I'm changing my ticket. I want to go back to Kenya on Monday. That was last Monday. Because I was seeing, like, I don't have much to do. So I feel like, because it's like I've finished what I needed to do here. I cannot just remain here. I need to go back home and do something. And Pastor Tony told me, no, Bishop, you cannot go back. You have just to remain here and come and minister for me, even if you are not going anywhere. And the moment he said that, incidentally, I even started getting other openings. Yeah, to other places. Yeah, to other places. So I only considered one. And that is where I will go to minister on Sunday to another church of African Americans in Fort Worth. So, and that apostle is telling me, now I want to send you to other places. I'm now in the empowerment center. Praise the Lord. I have my intercessor there in Sami. I think you have heard the story, a joke, eh? You heard the joke about the pig and the chicken that were walking together. So they saw a very big billboard written, ham and eggs for breakfast. And then the chicken said, let's do something and give these people breakfast. So then the pig looked at the chicken and said, that for you it's a contribution, for me it's a commitment. You know, the chicken can lay eggs and forget the number, but the pig will only die once to provide that sausage. So I think when I see you here, I know it's not a contribution. You are making a sacrifice to be here. The kingdom of God is about sacrifice. I'm telling you, without sacrifice, you're going nowhere in the things of God. There is nowhere you're going. The more the sacrifice, the sweeter the fruit that you get out of it. Some of the things that I share with people are my struggles. Because when I got born again, I was even rejected by a father who loved me so much because he thought I had become a disrepute and shame to the family. Because I was a man and I was crying. And in our community, men don't cry. Then if you cut his leg, he's not supposed to cry. That's how you show you are a man. So he said, what kind of a man are you? And so I'm telling you, I've passed through struggles. And those are the things that when I share, I like bringing that out. Because that is the life of God in me. That's what gives me the life of God. And each one of us as a path that the Lord has ordained for you to pass through. Even if you come to America, that path will find you here. Even if you moved from America, you go to Australia, the Lord will follow you there. And if you belong to Him, where He has ordained you pass through, you'll pass through. So I want to talk today about manifesting the supernatural life. We are going to read very common scriptures, and then we look at them in a way that they can have meaning to us. Then we go to the book of Luke chapter 8. We are reading from verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up,
The plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed of good soil, for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I want to share with you today briefly. I have quite a lot of notes on this that I think I tried to put forward because I was preaching on this in our church not very long ago. The Bible has a lot about the life that the Lord has called us to live. Amen. And life is only found in the seed. Without the seed, there is no life. The quality of life is carried by the seed. So if the seed meets the right quality or right type of soil, then you will be able to get the right amount of harvest. I don't know what kind of harvest you are getting out of your life, because even this parable already, you can preach to yourself. Jesus is saying the seed is the word. The word of God is the seed. And the word of God being the seed, all it requires is the soil. Because the soil is the heart. It's your heart. It is my heart. Because Jesus is saying the seed is the word. The word of God is the seed. So who is the sower? The sower is God. And God is very happy to sow a seed. And any life, the quality of life, is determined by the seed. Any seed, if you plant, like in Kenya, you know where many of us come from, you find that there is a certain type of seed for the islands. There is a type of seed for the semi-arid. Because if you make a mistake of changing that, you get different results. There are seeds that cannot be able to produce in some place. So, God's seed is spiritual. God plants a seed. When he plants a seed, he expects the harvest to come from us. Did you know that it doesn't take much effort to live a supernatural life? I said I share with you my own struggles. Because I struggled so much to be spiritual. There is a time I really would struggle to be spiritual. I want to be spiritual. But then I feel like I've been spiritual. Maybe I'm here, I'm very spiritual. When I go out, I discover I'm not spiritual. When you put me in a different environment, my spirituality dissolves. And then I feel now I'm no longer spiritual. I don't know whether you have ever passed through that kind of life. So when I teach, some of the things I teach, the Lord has taught me out of my own struggles. And what I want to say is that you can manifest not occasionally, but continuously, the supernatural life. And the supernatural life is God's gift or desire for each of his children. God wants us to manifest the supernatural. Because the supernatural is superior to the natural. If someone is fighting you, when you are operating in the supernatural, as long as you are operating correctly, he cannot win against you. Because you are on a higher plane, and you are not on the same plane. So, there are two types of life. There is the natural life, and there is the spiritual life. And the spiritual life is superior. And that is what God wants us to manifest wherever we go. When you are in an office, you carry a superior life. When you are doing business, you are carrying the superior life. Because the life of God is supernatural. And therefore it means that there are two types of seed. We have the natural seed, which is perishable. And then we have the spiritual seed, or if you like, the supernatural seed, which is unending and is incorruptible. Now, there is a way we can look, and we are going to look at that in the scripture, how particularly Paul is a very good friend of mine. When you want to understand certain things, he's the one who explains to you better than anybody else. Particularly in the life of the church, the life in the New Testament. Because Paul qualifies the two seeds to two people. The two types of seed, he qualifies them to two people. He qualifies the natural seed with Adam. And then he qualifies the supernatural seed, which is the incorruptible seed, and is going to say it is represented by our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So God, when he wants an harvest, he plants a seed. Hallelujah. And one thing God is sure about, if the seed is going to germinate and is going to grow, it is going to be superior. That one is sure. Amen. But if the soil has a problem, then the results of the seed cannot come out. Because the soil can hinder the result of the output, the outcome of what was intended by the soil. Now, if you read the Synoptic Gospels, and if you like, because this is Bible study, we can say a few things. In a church, we don't say all this. Synoptic, just in case you don't know what it means, is from the Greek word synopsis, which means seeing together. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, they see together. So if you are doing a Bible study, or if you are preparing a sermon, and you read a scripture that is from the synoptic, you may want to know what the other person is saying. And there are certain things, certain parables that are repeated in all the three. That shows you how that parable is very important. And if you read Mark chapter 4, Mark is going to give you the same parable of the sower. And Jesus is going to say, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any other parable? Because this is the master parable. Are you understanding me? It is the key to the other parables. Because it is showing you what God is doing. That God is planting the supernatural life. He is giving out his life to us by giving us a seed. And I want to say that we may be in America, but we have received the seed of God. And that is what is very important. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The seed of God in America, in Africa, in wherever it is going to be planted, it is going to produce the same results. As long as it is the seed of God. If the seed of God is planted in women, it is going to produce results just the way if it was planted in men. Because the seed remains constant. The seed is not changing. Amen. So what am I saying? You can manifest supernatural life wherever God has put you. You have the ability. You have the power. Allow me to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you come to the kingdom of God, the initiation is very serious. Because you are being brought in and you are being born again, not through the corruptible. Hallelujah. Corruptible is temporary. Incorruptible is permanent and everlasting. 1 Corinthians 15:45. I want to give you a background of scriptures that can show you about this story about the seed, and then we can talk a few things about how to manifest the supernatural life. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As I was looking at this, Paul says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." Can you say the words "put on"?
Put on.
Paul likes those words. I'm sure already you know where else he has used the same words. In the book of Ephesians, he's going to say "put on." Put on. Now, whenever you see this kind of wording in the New Testament, it means action is required from me, action is required from you. God has done his action, but now I need to do my action. The Greek word for put on is the word enduo. E-N-D-U-O, enduo. This word means sinking into a garment. Hallelujah. Sinking into a garment. It's not like you're just putting on and then you put on the coat and then the chest is open. No. You are sinking completely. Hallelujah. So, we are being told by the word here, we need to sink into into the incorruptible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
"For this corruptible must put on incorruption." So that when people see you, they don't see the corruptible. They see the incorruptible. Because you have sunk. Hallelujah. The corruptible needs to be buried, to be swallowed by what is incorruptible. So, Jesus, who is the second Adam, Paul says that the first Adam became a living soul. He's the natural man. Through him, the entire humanity is corrupted before God. But the second Adam became a quickening spirit. Who is Jesus? Jesus is a quickening spirit. Amen. Jesus is a quickening spirit. When you say, "I've received Jesus in my heart," you have received a quickening spirit. The spirit of God that is able to quicken. Now, to quicken means to make alive and to give life. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord will quicken us and quicken you and give you life. Give life to your life, if you like. Jesus is not asleep in you and in me. How did he come? He is God's seed into my life. And when he came, he came to my life. He came to quicken me, to quicken my life, to give my life life, if you like, to give me life, the life that I don't have, the life that comes from God. That is what Jesus came to do in my life. Now, when I am quickened, when I receive the quickening that comes from Jesus, the life that I live is supernatural. Hallelujah. The life that I'm going to manifest is supernatural. Because the supernatural life is manifested through... The supernatural life is actually manifesting the supernatural seed. How much of your life is supernatural? Because you are not natural. If you belong to the kingdom of God, you are not natural. You are a supernatural. Tell your neighbor you're supernatural. You're supernatural. But sometimes we don't like these terminologies because we feel like they are out there. No, but that is what God intended.
Amen.
God did not want natural because already he had a problem with the natural. And one natural person destroyed all of us.
Amen.
And destroyed our destiny. But now God is solving the problem. And how does God solve the problem? By bringing a seed. By bringing a seed. And that seed is a quickening spirit. So that I am quickened. Hallelujah. Do you know that to do spiritual things, if you try to do spiritual things with a natural mind, hata azingi, sijui kama umewahi jaribu. Hebu enda ujaribu hata kupanga programs za kuomba. When sometimes you go, you people, I don't know whether you are like me. You can go to pray, and when you are prayed for 5 minutes, you hear something telling you are prayed enough. You can pray the rest the following day, or after 2 weeks, or
that's
something.
True. That's true.
Because the natural mind does not agree with the spiritual things.
Mm.
Eh? Is that not true?
It's very true.
Yeah. It's very rebellious. But that is the reason this Jesus is a quickening
spirit.
He can quicken you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be what God wants you to be. And when you become, we are not to give you a lot of credit. Because we'll give Jesus who quickened you. Because we know you are struggling like us.
Mm.
But he came to you and he quickened you. And you became different.
Hallelujah.
And you became victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Jesus' work in you and me is not to remain in my heart. You know, when we were told, oh, say, Lord Jesus, come to my... We have really kept him in the heart until he is asleep. We need to know that Jesus is a quickening spirit. Is the Holy Ghost working in us and quickening us. To understand. There are things, even understanding spiritual things, sometimes a natural mind doesn't understand it. But the Lord, because he's a quickening spirit, will quicken your understanding.
Hallelujah.
And you remember on Sunday we shared that this is now the revelation, knowledge, instead of the natural knowledge. The Lord can make you to... I mean, it doesn't make sense when the Lord says, love your enemies. It really doesn't make sense. I think I read an article today online, and somebody was saying, somebody has written it from England, and somebody said who was saying, she can never forgive her former husband. She can't. That's the natural. She cannot. She's saying because she contracted HIV/AIDS. So she said, I can't forgive him because he knew what he was doing to me. Yeah? That's a natural thing. Even us, sometimes we have those situations. This is when we operate in the natural. In like your back, we are surrounded by too many impossibilities, things that we cannot do. But the moment we sink into that other garment, the supernatural, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, Bishop.
So, death affects only the corruptible. You remember when you read the story of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, when he's talking about the resurrection, he's saying, death, where is your sting? Because the sting of death is only felt on the incorruptible. But where there is the incorruptible, death has no power.
Praise the Lord.
Death is completely defeated. Hallelujah. Why do you think the psalmist is going to say that God will never allow his Holy One to see corruption? He will not allow it. Hallelujah. Nothing could become corrupt in him. Because in the real sense, he lived his life in the spirit. So the Lord will not allow him to see what? Corruption. Haven't you read that scripture? God did not allow Jesus. Jesus died. But one thing God never allowed was his body to do what? To be corrupt. To Lord. Hallelujah. Then become corrupt. There was a preserving ability of the word of God in him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So why did God give the seed? Why did God give the seed? That's a basic question I want to answer tonight. Because God is the sower. Why did God give the seed? Because we are saying the seed is the word of God, and the seed is what? Supernatural. Why did God give the seed? Number one, because God wanted to build himself a house from within. God wanted to build himself a house. The Bible tells us that God does not live or stay in houses built with human hands. So how does he build himself a house? He builds himself a house through his word. Through the word. God, when the word of God is working, it is like putting nails and putting boards and putting partitions where the house of God is supposed, how it's supposed to be built. And when the house is built using the supernatural seed, which is the word of God, then it becomes a house that God can abide in. Why did God send, give the seed? To mold us into his image. To mold us into his image. Even if we try to mold you here, we will never be with you everywhere you go. We cannot mold the people. Hallelujah. Think about the moment even we try to mold the people in the church, we try to shape them. But some people are so shapeless. It's very difficult. Even if very basic things, you wonder, this sister is so educated. She's having a master's degree. She can't understand even the basic. Are you understanding? I mean, this brother, what is he lacking now? He is supposed even to be the one helping other people. He's not getting even the basic. You need to take him again to kindergarten to teach him some things. He's not getting them. So, what God wanted, God knew very well that he's the only one who can mold you to his image. And he molds you to his image by putting a seed in you. When a seed starts getting rooted in you, starts growing into a big plant, then the image of God is going to be formed in your life. People will see the Lord. You will not even be saying, can you see the Lord in my... No. We can see you are different. One place I went, I stayed in Nakuru, Pangani. Some of you know Nakuru, Pangani. And I was a young manager. That time I was finished my study at Guilds of London Institute. And I was there, and I didn't stay there for long. But I stayed in a house in Pangani. Those houses belonged to the, I think, housing corporation or something. Small houses, not very big. And then on the other side, there are people who used to brew these traditional brews. And people would come and drink. And unfortunately or fortunately, I believed that for God to hear my prayers, I have to shout. So I really used to shout, pray. And I would pray, I would pray maybe 3 hours, 2 hours in a day. So you can imagine if you are shouting and neighbors are listening, they have to switch off their radios because already there is another radio on this side. So after some time, I was told, you know, I was moved by the company. So I was leaving. I was packing my few belongings and I was going. Then I discovered that the brewing place, I think people just came out. Almost everything stopped. Obviously, I used to greet them when passing. So then now, I think either they came to me or something. They said, oh, are you going? Now, where will we hear somebody pray? You know, then I discovered they used to enjoy just listening to me pray. And wow. Incidentally, all the time I was praying, the police never came there. So I think my prayers helped their business. Although it was not good business. But so these people said, now you are going. We needed to keep hearing you praying. They never said anything else. Maybe I had helped them in anything. But that's the only thing that they really realized they needed from me. So what I'm saying, people can be, you may think people are not studying you. People, when you are, God is molding you into his image from within because of the supernatural seed, people will start seeing the image of the Lord coming out of you. The prayers now I was praying, can you imagine? I mean, those people, if any of them got saved later, they must have become Pentecostals because they knew the prayers at work. So why did God give the seed? To bring life into our nature, which was dead. Hallelujah. God wanted to bring life into our nature, which was dead, which is limited, which is deficient. Hallelujah. With all the good qualities God had put in Adam. But now those qualities have been marred by sin. But when the seed of God is in my life, I can be able to have life here in him. Number 4, so that I do not have to struggle in my walk of faith. When God plants a seed into my life, it's so that when I allow, I'm nurturing the seed of God in my life, then I don't have to struggle in my walk of faith. I don't even have to stumble because I can now be able to be guided by the seed, the power of the seed working in me. Number 5, so that God may fulfill his purpose in creation. Number 6, so that God can give us dominion over the earth. So God wants us to manifest the supernatural life. And it is possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is possible. It's possible to manifest the supernatural life. But how will I manifest the supernatural life? It's by nurturing the seed. By nurturing the seed, the supernatural seed that God gave us, that God planted into my life. God's seed must be nurtured, otherwise it will be dwarfed or inhibited by the things of this life. So when we read the story of the sower went out to sow. And he was very generous. He was sowing his seed. Hallelujah. He was sowing his what? Seed. Because he wanted to bless everybody. He wanted to change the situation. But some of the seed fell on the wayside. So the birds of the air, they came and picked it out, and the seed had no chance to grow. That seed bounced. That seed was lost, if you like. The other seed fell on rocky soil. And I like the way like Luke puts it. It's like this seed grew so fast, but yet it could not bear fruit because
there was no much soil. You know? The condition of the heart, the word was received with excitement, but it was not nurtured. The word was not nurtured. The heart kind of rejected the word. Amen. And this heart was too grounded on worldly things, on natural things. And that became a rock to the supernatural. So this person is so grounded on the worldly system. The word cannot break through. Because that is what it is speaking about. So the supernatural life cannot manifest in this person.
Maybe a way of religion, maybe a religious kind of lifestyle can manifest. But the real power, the word cannot produce that. You know, there is nothing as frustrating as religion. Religion is very frustrating. Because it doesn't give you the promised results. Are we together? When I live my Christian life is just as a religious lifestyle, it has no results. It's dead. It's completely dead. And it's very frustrating. But when I allow the supernatural seed to grow and I manifest that seed in my marriage life, in my family life, in my wherever I am, wherever God has put me, I allow that seed to germinate, not only to germinate, but to grow, and to grow to bear fruit. I'm telling you, that is not boring. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The seed must be nurtured. The seed sowed was the same, but the results were different. And so, how do we nurture the divine seed? Because supernatural life is carried by the divine seed, by the supernatural seed. How do we nurture? That is one thing that when we miss it, then the results can be very disappointing for us. How do we nurture the life of God? We nurture the life of God by God's presence. Amen. Each one of us has a duty to nurture the supernatural seed in our life. I don't know what price you may need to pay to invite God's presence in your life. It's never easy. It's never easy. You can imagine how life was easy for Adam when God's presence was ever in the garden. Everything was working according to the right timing. Everything was working and giving the desired results. The way God created us, He created us to abide in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
God created us to abide in His presence. You can never give the results, divine results, results that come from God out of your life, unless you abide in God's presence. So, what I want to say in a few words is that the seed, the supernatural seed that God planted in us is nurtured in God's presence. When that seed is, when God's presence is allowed, hallelujah,
amen,
that becomes the fertilizer. That becomes the fertilizer. That allows the word to take charge even in situations that we may not know what to do. But this same word will work for us. Hallelujah. So you can never
manifest supernatural life unless you are a lover of God's presence. Don't go to God just to make prayer requests. God wants you and me to go to Him to enjoy His presence.
Amen.
That was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel. Because Moses realized that he needed God's presence.
Yeah.
And when he stayed in God's presence, even God put His glory on you. You'll never carry the glory of God until you have learned to enjoy His presence. Hallelujah. You create time. The God's presence is not to be enjoyed only in the church. When we come here, oh, we are having praise and worship, and now we say it is time to worship, let's lift up our hands. Oh, that's minimal. You as a person, you need to create time. How do I invite God's presence in my life? Hallelujah. Sometime I have driven from my city, which is Eldoret, to Nairobi, about 330 kilometers alone. And I ask God, please let me not have anybody to be with me in this car. I want you there. I just want me and you. I want to be selfish. I just want you and me. Huh? Just want you and me. And I've enjoyed praying from Eldoret to Nairobi. And then I just go and park my car. And that is not prayer of asking for anything. I don't want to ask Him anything. I just want Him to know that I am there and He is there. I just want to feel, to enjoy His presence. Yeah. His presence. To enjoy His presence. Sometimes I've had people in that car and I just feel the Lord wants us to pray. So I introduce prayer in the car. Yeah, and maybe one or two people may feel harassed a bit, but I have learned that sometimes that is the best way for, it's the best thing for me at that time. Yeah. And one time, you know, I mean, I have known that my car is an altar. It's God's altar. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I invite God's presence into my life. Where you don't invite God, He doesn't come. Maybe you'll cry for Him to come to deliver you, but He doesn't come. That's very interesting. If you want God in your office, you have to invite Him. And what I normally tell Christians in Kenya, if you work in a certain office, request kindly if you can be allowed to be the keeper of the keys, if they ever close that place. I know I tell people that in Kenya. Maybe it's different. You need to do it differently. But in Kenya, that works very easy because many people don't want to come too early. So I know if you are a Christian and you tell the boss, you'll be more than willing to carry the keys of the office so that you are the one who opens the place. And when you open the place, when there is nobody, you invite God's presence. When the boss comes in that place, there are things he will not be able to utter. Because the God's presence already has taken over in the place. Because that's an altar. So may God give you wisdom how you can bring God's presence into your office. There are some homes where God's presence is absent. Although the man is born again, the wife is born again, but actually the devil there, the devil presence, the other presence is more in the home than the presence of God. And those people try to meet God's presence maybe in church. So even when they come to church, sometimes like in Kenya, they don't stay together. So if the wife is on that corner, the man makes sure he's very far. So that when he lifts the hands to enjoy God's presence, the other person is not near there too. And the pastor also doesn't make a mistake of telling your neighbor this, because there are things that he may not want to tell this neighbor. So, the supernatural seed
The supernatural seed is nurtured in God's presence. And God's presence comes where you invite it. Where you don't allow it to come, you are left, you live your supernatural life. So, you need to nurture the supernatural life and the supernatural seed by God's presence. Open the doors of your life for God's presence. Learn to enjoy God's presence. Invite God's presence in your bedroom. Because there are some bedrooms without God's presence. So just invite God's presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so you nurture the supernatural seed by divine presence and by obedience to the word of God. An conditional obedience to the word of God. So that nobody pushes you to obey the word. You have committed yourself that the word, as long as it's the word, you obey. You are available to do what the word of God is saying. So Jesus wants us to manifest the supernatural life. What this means is that we need to be incarnated. We need to be incarnated into the personality and nature of Christ. Jesus was incarnated because Jesus is spirit. Jesus is spirit. He has always been spirit. Since there was no time, he was always spirit. But at a certain time, God allowed Jesus to be incarnated from the spirit to the humanity. Now, the equation has changed. It is not Jesus who is being incarnated. It is me who is to be incarnated. I am to be incarnated into the spiritual, into the nature, into the personality of Jesus. And this is a continuous process. Hallelujah. It's a continuous process. So you read in some scriptures where Paul is going to tell you, I die daily. Because he's dying to the natural. He is being alive in the spiritual. Amen? He's being alive in the spiritual. So, we need to be incarnated. And this is the way to move from death nature into life. Into life. How do we move from death to life? We move from death to life according to how we appropriate the word of God in our life. If we appropriate the word of God in our life, we are moving from death to life. Did you know that if you are very busy saying, there is no healing today, what will happen? God cannot heal you. Is that not true? There are people even who say you cannot be saved in this life. You'll be saved when you are dying. God cannot save you. Because God only works in your life according to the level you take the word of God and you allow yourself to be incarnated into it. So we are to be incarnated into the nature of Jesus Christ. That is the working of the Spirit. And this one is determined by the measure of faith that I have. That the Lord really is incarnating me into his nature, into his life, and the Lord is going to start manifesting his life in me, his life in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've been sharing with Pastor Tony when we are driving in town here. Some of the very, very, supernatural situations and experiences I've seen in my own life. Things beyond measure and beyond imagination that God will always manifest and do. And I wish that you would do more. Amen.
Amen.
And how do I make him to do more? By submitting more
to his presence. By allowing the word of God, the seed of the word of God, to take root of my life. Hallelujah. To control my life. May it be my family life. May it be my marriage life. May it be my ministry life. How has the word of God taken root? Yeah.
So, we need to undergo the incarnation process for us to manifest the supernatural, life. And you can manifest the supernatural life. Hallelujah. It's not impossible. It's not complicated. It is very simple. But you have to pay the price. Let me answer the question, how do you become spiritual? Because we are talking about actually being spiritual by manifesting the supernatural seed. You become spiritual when you are able to take authority over your circumstances. When you can manage your circumstances with the spiritual authority that God has given you. And you know, when you are acquainted with God's presence. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me read 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing that God has kept back. There is nothing that you don't have to manifest divine life. There is no excuse. Hallelujah. There is no
excuse.
Yeah. Because when you read the Bible, another time Jesus was telling people how people were giving what? Excuses. How people are excusing themselves. And that happens a lot today. Do you know why these chairs are not full? One of them is just because there were excuses. But I want to say that you can manifest the supernatural life of God. As I finish, I want to say the seed that was planted in you is not the maize from Texas. It is the seed of the word of God from heaven. Mm. Hallelujah. And that seed is not a respect of person. It can work for you. It is able to work for you. It is going to work for you proportionately according to the level you have been incarnated into it. Are you a lover of this word? This written word here is not supernatural. But when I pick that word in my spirit, it is supernatural. Did you know that?
Yeah.
When I pick it in my mind, it's not supernatural. But when my spirit, my brother, picks it, it is supernatural. It is a hammer, my sister, Lolin. It becomes a hammer. It will hammer circumstances and break them to pieces because it is now in the spirit. And that is why I need to feed myself mentally, spiritually with the word. So that I have enough bank of the word to move it from mind level to spirit level. Some of us, when we are handling situations,
There is nothing to move from the mind to solve my issue. Because when I'm in the spirit, there is nothing that can defeat me. I can handle, I can master, I can, any situation, I can be able to change it. Jesus undermined, but he operated in the spirit. Hallelujah. I pray today that you manifest the supernatural life. Amen. You manifest the supernatural life. This life will change your circumstances. This life will put you on top of your circumstances. This life will be above every limitation that comes your way. It will be it has power. God has given us everything that pertains to life. We don't need anything else that pertains to life. Whatever God has given us is enough. Hallelujah. He has the real life. The real life is from him. The best that you need for your life is not out there with anybody. It has been given to you by Jehovah through his word. And I pray that whatever circumstances that you are encountering today, they are going to work to move you forward. You cannot destroy the supernatural seed. When the devil thought he has destroyed Jesus on the cross, that is when God's purposes were released. Let me declare to you, because you are a carrier of the seed, the supernatural seed of God, whatever the enemy is trying to do to destroy you, that one is going to be your promotion towards God's purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter whether it is sickness. Whatever he thinks that he is going to use to destroy you is only that he is actually serving God's purpose. He's on employment. He's serving God's purpose. I wish he knew. Because if they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But because the devil doesn't know always, he always works. And what is working, it is always going to be used by God to move you to where he has intended for you to be. So I pray for you that you will manifest the supernatural life of God in your marriage, in your ministry, in your relationships. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In your relationships with the people. Mm. People even that are not born again. Mm. May you manifest the supernatural seed. Let me finish by giving this example. I was sharing with Pastor Tony how I was a manager, yes, and then I had a boss who was corrupt. And this boss of mine was corrupt. And the company where the company put me, I was where, you know, the position was operational. So the manager did not have, he had superficial power, but not operational power. I was operating. So I'm the one who had the final word in the system. So every time I was there, the manager felt that I was such an hindrance to his corrupt moves, because he could not be able to be corrupt, because he was saying, Pastor, there is an hindrance. He's stopping me from getting what I can get here. And Pastor doesn't want anything. Why can't he allow me to get? So I was a very big stumbling block. And I was in a big company, one of the biggest companies in Kenya. And this company was part of a group of companies. So there was a general manager in our company, and there was a group managing director on top there. One time, I realized that my boss, who was a branch manager, was eating with the general manager. He wanted to eat with the general manager. So the general manager was compromised. This boss of mine wrote a letter for me to be sacked. He created a story and he wrote a letter. This letter he sent to the general manager and he sent a copy to the group MD. Now, when I say general manager, I was a manager, but despite the, because the company was so big, the general manager has no time for me, leave alone the group managing director. So when he wrote this letter, there was a certain man who was from the police force who had been hired by the company as a private investigator. I witnessed that man sacking managers. Every office that manager, that former policeman entered, that manager was sacked because managers had no union. But every office he stepped like this, that person was sacked. So one time I went to my boss. I said, boss, please, I want to go. I need some off duty. I've worked so much, give me off. And every time I got off, my boss was very happy because he knew I'm not there, so he's going to be corrupt at least for the days I'm off. So I took my off and I left. Little did I know, my boss has written a letter to get me dismissed. So the letter was written and sent to the headquarters. And then this former policeman, who is a investigator, was sent to come and sack me. Because every place he came, for sure, you are sacked. So when he came, I was very busy preaching. So he came to the office. Then I'm walking in town. I meet one of my staff in the office. He's almost crying. He said, oh, pastor, I'm very sorry. I said, why are you sorry? He said, oh, you know so and so. He has come and he's looking for me. Because even everybody knew that when this money comes, you are finished. If he comes for you, that is the end of the story. So he said, Paul, sorry, the so-and-so has come. But I carry the supernatural, my friend. My boss was carrying the natural. Despite the authority of the company, he was natural. I was carrying the supernatural. So what happened? I preached, finished my crusade. I think that was a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I never saw that man. Then Monday now, I reported to work. When I reported to work, I was walking. The devil is preaching to me, you are going to be sacked. Everybody is going to be embarrassed about your testimony that you have always told people here about your lack of being corrupt and all this. People are going to know even you are corrupt now. That's the devil is really preaching. And the devil is a good preacher sometimes. So preaching how things are bad. So I come into the yard. Immediately, because we had a big yard. So when I enter into the security and then the yard, whom do I see? I see the man sent from Nairobi to sack me. I see God. He's not even giving me a chance to say anything. The devil said, yes, I told you. You're going to be sacked. Then this man, he calls me, come here, pastor. And then he goes with me to a corner where, you know, nobody can hear. So he comes, this is the yard, and then he brings me to some place here. So, and other people can see me and him. So I think the other people say, now, pastor is finished. Pastor is finished. So this man says, pastor, I'm very unhappy with your boss. That's how he began. I'm very happy with your boss. Your boss has written a letter, very bad letter, for you to be dismissed. I know that this is not professional, but take this. Then he gives me the letter my boss wrote. He said, this letter is rubbish. Your boss wrote, but it is rubbish. Can you go, pastor, and write what I need to go and tell the people that said it?
Amen. Amen.
Wow. That is beyond imagination. Mm-hmm. You carry the supernatural. Mm-hmm. God can allow people even who hate you to do whatever they want to do. But some point, the supernatural is going to manifest.
Amen.
As long as you have held to the supernatural seed, the supernatural life, don't compromise. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are not married, don't compromise your life. Hold on. Hallelujah. God is going to come. He may come, maybe not when people want him to come, but he has a time that he comes. And he's going to show up on your behalf. hold on to the word of God, because the word of God is the seed of God. What I wanted to say in a nutshell is that in that situation, the person, the ant actually became the anted. Because now I had to go and see it. And humanly speaking, my mind was racing. Tell the whole story. Then the Holy Ghost told me, no. We don't operate like that in this kingdom. You need to exercise mercy. I'm the one who started being merciful now to my boss, who had actually dismissed him, literally. But now I am the one, and then when I wrote, I did not want to maintain contact with this man, because why am I going to maintain contact with him? I don't want to become also his agent. Me, I'm an agent of the kingdom of God. But in a nutshell, let me tell you, I was given a letter to see what my boss wrote, and then I was told, go and write anything you write. What you write is what I'm taking. It is not what your boss wrote. I'm going to tell the group managing director that this is rubbish. Your boss is corrupt, you are not corrupt. So God can fight for you. The supernatural seed can manifest in your life. I've been told by a doctor, you are sick, you are not curable. I went and took the word, first of all to my mind, and then transferred it to my spirit. It worked in my body and bring healing. The word that you move, you receive in your mind, and you allow it to grow, you allow it to quicken your situation, to give you life, it will work for you and it will make the difference. I hope I've communicated something that maybe you can say, I thank God I came for the Bible study. Not today it was a Bible study, it was not preaching. But please, wherever you go, even as I go to Kenya next week, when I come back next year, I want to come and see people who are carrying the glory of God at a new level. Because what happens when you manifest the supernatural, the glory of God increases in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Even the drunkards, like I told you, you will start seeing something. You say, that one is good in your life. Hallelujah. That's what I pray for. And I pray that also in this church, we are going to manifest the supernatural life of God. Let's not have excuses. Let's not say this is America. We are very busy. We want to make some money and help some relative in some place. No. The word of God does not respect America, does not respect those people in the U.S. The people, whoever receives the word of God, must come to the same level of the word of God. There are no different standards. Yeah, the word of God must work the same for you here and for us down there. But I'm saying the word of God can work for you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these wonderful people that God you have brought to this gathering. Jehovah, I pray that today, in the name of Jesus, they are going to manifest the supernatural. Whatever situation, whatever circumstances,
yes, Lord.
The seed of the word, the seed, Father, that you planted in them, which is the quickening spirit, O Lord, is going to quicken every dead situation.
Yes, Lord.
And is going to bring life. Even the situations that have been dead are going to become alive in the name of Jesus. Father God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak life now. I speak life.
Yes,
I speak life.
Yes, Lord.
Life into this ministry.
Yes, Lord.
I speak life.
Yes, Lord.
Life into every ministry represented. I speak glory and life. Because, Father, this is the life you have called us unto. That the glory of God is going to manifest.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the families represented. In the lives of the young people represented.
Yes, Lord.
Father, fill them and visit them afresh. Jesus, may you quicken.
Lord Jesus,
quicken them, Father. Quicken their spirits.
Yes.
And Father God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, that none of them are going to have a testimony of defeat.
Yes. Yes,
none of them are going to have a testimony of struggle.
Yes.
None of them are going to have a testimony of failure.
Yes.
None of them are going to have a testimony, oh God, of lack.
Yes.
But if Father, they are going to carry the testimony of glory.
the testimony of provision,
yes,
the testimony of your power,
yes,
that Jehovah, the life of Jesus, is manifesting in their life. Lord, I just want to commend them to you.
Yes,
and I want to bless them today.
Yes.
Father, you know their deepest, deep desires. Mm. And as your servant, Lord, by my being present here, Father, may you remember the needs of these brethren.
Yes, my Lord.
The needs that they have brought before you,
thank you, Jesus,
in their closet.
Mm.
Lord, may you remember every need, oh God. And may you meet them at the point of their need.
Yes, Lord.
I bless them, Father.
Yes, my
God. I bless them, Lord.
Yes, my God.
God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, as they sink into that garment of the incorruptible, as they are endued with the incorruptible, Father God Almighty, you are the one who is going to receive the honor.
Yes.
You are the one who is going to receive the glory.
Yes, my Lord.
Father, let the incorruptible word of God bear fruit in a new way. May there be a new season,
amen,
for each one of us.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
And keep you. Do you send me greetings to my wife?
Amen.
And our church.
Yes, they do send you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.